Morning.
Good morning.
I was sitting there as we were singing and worshiping the Lord this morning, just thinking that the songs we sang, Mighty to Save, Jesus Saves, somebody must need to be saved today. I mean, I say that in all seriousness because we don't coordinate songs, you know, that's all between Travis and the Lord, and I'm just like, man, today's the day of salvation, you know? We don't know, we don't have tomorrow until tomorrow comes, and we don't know if tomorrow's coming. So today, if you are not born again, if you have not placed your trust and your faith alone in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, there's an end coming for all of us, right, here on earth. But the thing is, God has made a way that we can have new life, and God has made a way that we can have eternity in the presence of the King, and we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ himself if we would just believe, if we would just place our faith and trust. The Bible says if we would confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, we would be saved. There's no work that we need to do, right? There's religions out there that preach and teach that there's some work that you need to do, and there's these things and this list of things that you have to check off before you can become a child of God, and that is not true because Jesus abolished all that stuff on the cross. And man, we can have a relationship with Jesus today. So man, usually, you know, we have an altar call at the end of service. Maybe we need to do it at the beginning of service today. Maybe today you need to be saved. And if you need to be saved today or you have some questions about that, man, do it right now. We have people that could take the Bible and show you in the Bible what it means to be born again and lay it out. It's not something that we make up. It's not something that just we believe. It's what the Bible says. It's what God has preserved for us. It's what the way that God has made it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, right? There's only one way. So maybe we're trying multiple ways to get through this life, and we're just hoping that we do enough good deeds that we can get into heaven. And man, when you stand before him, that's not how it's going to roll out. So if you need to be saved today, just stand up where you're at today, right now. Just be bold and say, I do. I need to be saved today. I don't want to die and go to hell, or I have some questions and I don't even know if I'm saved. Man, what a celebration, right, that we would have. If that's you today, and if that's you and you don't want to stand up, man, just come see me after service or catch somebody after service or during service. Just grab somebody and say, hey, I want to know more about this. So welcome. That's how we welcome you, is, man, with the gospel, because the gospel is why we're here. The gospel is what saved us. The gospel is what set us free. The gospel is what's, man, it's propelled us forward to go and do the work of the Lord. And man, we're blessed to be here today. So I'm super excited, and I'm really excited about next week because we get to be outside. There's a chance of weather, some rain. We're under a shelter, but there's a chance of some rain. So let's do some work praying this week that God will clear all that out. He's cleared all that out in the years past, and we've been able to just have a great time. And we're gonna get in the Word. We're gonna sing some songs, get in the Word, have good barbecue afterwards, and you can hang out. We have the shelter all day. If you want to hang out all day, that's fine. But man, it's going to be great. So turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. That's where we're at. That's where we're going to be. And turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7 today. And last week, we looked into the intro of the book. And we've seen that what Paul had to say as he opened his letter. And Paul opens most of his letters pretty similar, right? If you read all of Paul's epistles throughout the Bible here at the New Testament, you can see that it's pretty similar as Paul opens up in his greeting and his introduction to the letter of whoever he is writing to. And we were challenged with a couple things right out of the introduction last week, though. And we were challenged first and foremost to examine who we are investing in. Because, man, as we've seen in verse 2, it says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, right? Paul had invested his life. He had invested the truth into Timothy. Timothy had known the Lord, but Paul came alongside Timothy as they met there in Acts chapter 16, I believe. And Paul began to invest into Timothy. He was like his spiritual father. And he took the time to invest in him and to walk alongside him in ministry. And so he was like, Timothy was his son. That's why he addresses him like that. my dearly beloved son. And I challenged us to write down, and if you weren't here, maybe you need to write this down because you're going to need it for future reference as we go through this book, to write down one person that you are investing truth in. To write that down, maybe in the margin of your Bible or somewhere right along side of verse 2 right there, you need to write who you're investing in. Because we should all be investing in someone, though some of us are maybe we're babies or maybe we're not even saved today, so it's hard for you to invest truth in if you don't know truth. But even if you're a baby in Christ and you just came to know the Lord, you can still invest in others because you can tell them what happened to you. And that can impact their life, right? It's seeds planted into their life. So we wrote that down, and I hope that we all did that, and we need to be praying for that soul. And some of us are investing in multiple people, and that's great. Maybe you need to use your whole column. Hallelujah. And then we need to pray no matter the circumstances. Paul was a praying dude, man. He was all about praying, and he was always praying for the saints and the churches that he had planted and the pastors that he was helping. And he was always about lifting them up to the Lord. It says that without ceasing, I've remembered thee of thee in my prayers night and day. He took praying without ceasing seriously. He was always, in tune with the Lord, and he was always communicating with God, and he took that seriously. And oftentimes, we as the church, and we as the New Testament believers, we do not take that seriously. We have the greatest opportunity in the whole wide world to communicate with the Creator of the universe, but yet we just try to do it on our own. And we say, God, I've got this. I don't need to talk to you right now. And we shut him out. But we need to pray no matter the circumstances. And oftentimes we only go to prayer when things are bad, right? Someone's sick. You've lost your job. Whatever it is, you got some big decisions coming up. We only go to prayer when we're like super needy. But yet we don't go to prayer just to praise God for who he is. Praise God for those that he's instilled in our life to invest in and those that have invested in us. We also looked at how Paul was had joy even though his time was drawing near on earth. Paul desired to see Timothy one last time and, just to see Timothy's faithfulness being lived out. But Paul knew that Timothy's faithfulness was being lived out, and it says that it brought him great joy. It brought him so much joy to know that Timothy was still plugging along. Timothy was still doing the work of the Lord. Timothy was still shepherding, still pastoring the church in Ephesus. He was still doing it. But man, what's awesome about Paul is even if Timothy is right on the right track, Paul is still there to encourage and instruct, to make sure, right? Just to be a good shepherd, to be a good friend, to be a good father in the Lord. So today we're going to roll on. And we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. We're going to look at a couple of these verses. And man, one of these verses was a humongous growing tool in my spiritual walk. One of these really impacted me pretty early on in my walk with the Lord. And it just really transformed how I operate day to day. And I'm not saying I got it all figured out, but God brings this verse to my remembrance oftentimes. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of thy hands." And verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Father God, I pray today you would stir us up. God, that you would shake us. God, that you would just get everything out of our lives that does not belong. And God, that we would remember who you've called us to be. And God, I pray today the word would be alive in our lives. And God, that we would be transformed by the power of it. And God, that we would just be so on fire for you. And God, that we would be serious about your business. And God, that we would take this example of these two men and their faithfulness to you and their faithfulness to each other and their faithfulness to the saints. And we would see where we're at. We would examine our own lives. So God, I pray that you would be glorified today. Speak through me today. Use my lips and the breath of my lungs that you give me, just to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, today we're going to see three points right out of the text. And these are three things that need to be brought to our attention. These are three things that we need to understand. And first off, Paul starts with wherefore, continuation on from the text from last week, because in verse 5 it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Wherefore? There's a continuation here. The faith that Timothy had was instilled in him from his childhood. We don't know how old he was here, but from, there were souls that were investing in Timothy's life, and it had impacted him. We don't know if his grandma or his mama led him to the Lord, but man, the faith that first dwelt in his grandma and his mom, it was passed on. And I'm not, that doesn't mean, because sometimes we can get confused and we can have these family holy huddle things that mom and dad are saved, so all the kids are saved because we're passing our faith on to them. No, that's not how that works. Grandma and mama were saved and they were instilling truth in Timothy, and then Timothy came to the faith on his own. He had his own relationship with Jesus. It wasn't a family relationship. And all too often we get that confused. Paul called to remembrance that faith and those that had invested in Timothy's life. And Paul thought that he should encourage Timothy by telling him this. So Paul says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance," meaning that he was reminding Timothy of something. And I don't know about you all, but I need that, right? We all need reminded, correct? We need that in our lives. Though we don't like it sometimes. We don't like it when our spouse reminds us that we aren't doing something, or we forgot to do something, or we missed a meeting, or we missed a phone call. But we need reminded. I need it oftentimes, daily, because we get so busy that we forget things. Our plates become so full that we forget things, and things fall out of our mind, and that we just forget. And this is not to say that Timothy had forgotten something, but Paul wanted to remind him just so that Timothy was sure that what he was doing was glorifying God. I put thee in remembrance, I'm going to remind you that you need to do something, which is point one, which is to stir up. Paul tells Timothy to stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. It's like a call to action. You know, not that Timothy had like let the fire go out for the Lord, but he was neck deep in ministry. He was out there shepherding this church. And Paul wanted to remind Timothy, or call him out to remember his calling. And church, we need called out. You know what? If you're saved today, you have been called out. You've been called out, but we need each other to call us out, to stay focused and to stay on task, to keep on keeping on. Because, man, the world is a wicked place, and the world wants to drag us down, and the world wants us to be conformed to the world. But yet we need brothers and sisters to come alongside us and say, listen, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Don't let the world conform you. Be transformed. God is, man, he's changed who you are. We all have gifts, and we need to use them. But yet, how often do we sit idle because we are overwhelmed or doubt God's call on our lives? Has anyone ever doubted God's call on your life? I have. And you know what? When I do that? When I'm in my flesh. I'm like, God, are you sure that this is what you want me to do? God, things aren't going the way that I want them to go. And then he reminds me, good. That's good. Because your way is not a good way. We all have one thing in common, and that we are commanded to go and spread the gospel. In Psalm 96, verse 3, it says, "Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people." I don't think that we're probably doing this as well as we should. I speak for myself. We're all not the next Billy Graham, but we all have the same message. We all have the same message. We don't have to preach to thousands of people, but we can preach to one. And this can be done in so many ways, and we need reminded of this, because what if we just share our testimony of how God saved us? And let me challenge you with something. If you can share your testimony without sharing the gospel, you need to probably do some business with the Lord. Because if you can share with somebody how you are a new creature in Christ without sharing with them the gospel, what really happened? Right? And I'm not saying that you got to pound the Bible down their throat, but you need to understand that you are saved because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And man, your testimony better include that. It's impossible to share how you got saved without sharing the gospel. It's impossible. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. But oftentimes we become scared or embarrassed. In Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Are we ashamed of the gospel? Now, this is not what Paul's talking about here, but it is important. Paul is talking about Timothy's calling to pastor the church in Ephesus, and we need stirred up sometimes because we are like, man, we're like a glass of chocolate milk. I don't like drinking milk, but if you put some chocolate in that stuff, man. So you get your milk and you pour it into a glass, and then you take your delicious Hershey syrup and you squirt it in there. What happens? It still looks like milk, right? Because all of the chocolate went to the bottom. And if you have a clear glass, you can look and you can see it. And what do you need to do? You need to stir that stuff up. You need to stir it up. And then if you just stir it up and set it on the counter, eventually some of that stuff's going to settle back to the bottom. And you're going to be like, wow, my chocolate's back at the bottom of my glass again. This doesn't taste quite as sweet as I would like it. So you whip that stuff up again, or you shake it up, or whatever it is. We need stirred up like a glass of chocolate milk, because we're letting the zeal of the Lord settle. And it's not at the forefront of our lives. It's just kind of there. So we need somebody to help us. We need the Lord to stir up the gift of God which is in us. We need that to happen. Going on in that text, it says, which is in the by putting on of my hands. Paul was there for Timothy's ordination, and he had hands laid on him and was sent out. And this is exactly what happens when things are done correctly. Paul didn't lay hands on Timothy to give him some special superpowers like, okay, Timothy, you can fly now because I have superpowers and I'm going to lay my hands on you. No, that's not what they were doing. They were laying their hands on him to pray for them, right? It's just what you do. You lay hands on people and you send them out. Yeah, exactly. It's okay. I needed reminded of that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 says this. It says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, which the laying on of hands by of the prosperity." The church laid hands on Timothy and sent him out, right? It doesn't mean that they healed him or they did something miraculous. They laid hands on him and they sent him out to go to Ephesus and to shepherd the church. So my point is to get stirred up, because we need it, church. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable just coming to our holy huddle on Sunday mornings and just being cool because that's just what we do for an hour or so. No, get stirred up. Get out of that comfort zone and get fired up for Jesus. And man, what if it was just to take some of those fancy, shiny flyers and go and pass 5 out this week and say, hey, we're having a gathering at the park, and our church is gathering, and we just want to love on you. Just come and hear the word and have some great food. That's not that hard. Pin a couple on a billboard. I stick them in the gas pumps because we know we got to get gas like every day because it's so daggum expensive again. So do whatever you got to do to get the message out. Stir it up. Stir up the gift. Point 2 is fear is paralyzing. Verse 7, the first part says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." I could probably say that fear is the number one reason that we don't engage in the battle for souls. Fear stops us dead in our tracks. It does. And God has brought this verse to remembrance for me for spiritual things and for non-spiritual things. I'm a hunter, right? I've shared this with you guys. Walking in the woods when it's still dark, you hear something. What do? You stop because you're scared. You're like, there's a bear or something that's going to eat me. Fear stops us dead in our tracks. We all know the feeling of fear. And we all know what it does to us. It either does one or two things. It stops us, or we run the other way. I remember when I was a child, and I was at my grandparents' house, and I would go fishing all the time. And it was the first time I'd ever seen a giant snake. I'm talking anaconda-sized snake, right? It's what I thought. I don't know how old I was, but I remember this all the time. And I was walking up to the pond, going to go fishing, and then there's this giant snake. And I was like a half mile from the house. I ran as hard as I could back to the house, like the snake was chasing me, because I was scared. I ran the other way. I did not accomplish what I set out to do, was to go and catch some fish. Guess who's to blame for instilling this fear? Our text says, for God hath not given it. So somebody has to give it. Satan gives it. He wants us to freeze or run away from the battle that we are called to. The battle for souls of men. Think of Jonah, right? God gave Jonah very direct instructions, right? Get on a boat, go to Nineveh. These people are wicked. Take the message to them. Jonah's like, nope. Getting on a different boat, going elsewhere. Was he scared? Probably so. He fled to Tarshish, but he didn't make it. God's like, listen, Jack, that's not what I told you to do. They cast him into the sea. We know the story. Fear stopped the mission from going forward. We get in the way of God's mission oftentimes. And man, Paul's telling Timothy here, listen, when you get scared, when things are not happening the way you want, when Satan's having his way in the church there, remember that that fear does not come from God, Timothy. That fear is not from God. It's from Satan himself. And you have to recognize that. But most of all, as we're going to see, you need to recognize that you can stomp that monster. You can stomp him. He has no power over us anymore. I remember when I preached this was the very first verse that I preached from the Word of God. And I was scared to death. And it was not a coincidence that God led me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Because he knew I was scared to death. He knew that I was scared to stand up in front of people, my peers, and to preach God's word. And he said, listen, this is the verse that you're going to preach. And you're going to get over that fear, because that fear is not from me. Satan tried in every way to stop it from happening. Why don't you just quit class? You won't have to go and preach that. Why don't you just do this? You won't have to preach that. You won't have to go and do that. Church, we all need to understand that Satan is the enemy and he is going to try to disrupt things. And how do we win? Well, the battle's already been won. All we have to do is just tap into that power. Fear causes us to run away or stop, like I said, and the Spirit doesn't want us to do either one when it comes to the work of the Lord. Maybe sometimes the Spirit will stop us because we're doing things contrary to what God had led us to do, or we're trying to do things in the way that we want to do them, but that's not how we do it. We're doing it in the flesh, if that's what's happening, and God will stop us. He'll say, listen, that's not the way, Jack. Satan desires for us to be paralyzed because we are not a threat if we were bound up by fear. You know, our flesh almost desires fear. We put ourselves in a situation to be scared because we live off of adrenaline. The flesh desires that, and we play it like a game at times. Myself, I don't like to be scared, right? Scary movies are being watched at my house, I go to bed. That's just how it rolls. I think Andy does that to me sometimes. Well, I want to watch a movie by myself, so I'm going to get a scary movie. I don't like that. It puts thoughts in my mind that I don't need there. And I'm not saying you can't watch scary movies. To each their own. I don't watch scary movies. If you want to invite me over to watch a scary movie, I'm going to decline. Haunted houses. We go to a corn maze every Halloween. It's lame. I don't do it. Why? I don't want to punch somebody in the face because I'm scared, right? I don't need that fear. There's enough fear in my life. I don't need outside fear that I'm subjecting myself to because I'm like, listen, I don't want, then I'll go home and I'll dream about it and who knows what'll happen in bed. I can't do that. I don't need that. But what I do need brings us to our final point here. Not that we're almost done, but this is a long point. We need to stick to the truth, point three. We need to stick to the truth, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he does give us these three things. In Acts chapter 1:8, we see the power of the Holy Spirit that's come upon man. And let me read that to you. You guys have it memorized probably, but it says, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power that you did not have before. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You are going to have power to go and do things that you did not have once before. That power only comes from God. That power you receive at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells us. We receive power to go and do God's work. We just receive power to defeat the enemy. We receive power to have victory through Jesus Christ. That power, we receive that when we are saved. Church, without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, without God in your life, you are powerless. The only power that you will find in your life is the power of the flesh, aside from Christ. And that power, it's toxic. Paul had it right when he said in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul knew, man, when I'm walking in the flesh, nothing good's happening. Nothing good is happening for God, right? My flesh was satisfied and it's happy and it's making a happy dance, but God is not. And when I'm in my flesh, man, nothing good is coming of it. Walking around in our flesh brings no honor and no glory to the one that saved us and called us. Walking around in the flesh only satisfies the flesh. And the thing is, you're never going to fully satisfy the flesh, because it's like it's like an addict that always wants more and more and more. Walking around in the flesh is a nasty place to be. God does not want us nor desire for us to walk in the flesh. But yet we yield to the desires of the flesh oftentimes. We yield to a temporary satisfaction and forsake the true power that we have been given. This power that we're seeing here in this text, but God gives us of power. It's magnificent. It's the strongest power ever given to mankind. There's a lot of powerful things. There's spaceships that can go to space. That's powerful. Have you ever seen one of those or been around? It shakes the whole earth, right? That's powerful. But it doesn't even come close to comparing to the power that God has and the power that God gives us when we become his son or daughter. It's a magnificent power. The power, it can change us. It enables us and it shatters the fear from our life. That's powerful. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, and I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God does not want us to fear. We should fear the Lord, right? But we should not fear as we walk around in this world. The Lord desires for us to tap into his power. He desires for us to experience victory and not be bound up by fear, not be shackled up. Because what happens is we get shackled up and then we can do nothing. If you're born again today, then you have the power of God, because the gospel is powerful. The gospel changes who you are and makes you a new creature. And if you believe by faith, right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 through 10 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from the heaven. whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We have power, and our lives should show that power. Our lives should show how powerful God is. The way we live our life should represent Jesus. It should represent that power. It took power from God to give the gospel to the world. It took magnificent power to send Jesus to the world. It took power to allow him to die, to be buried, and it took amazing power to raise him from the dead. And this power changes who we are, church. But why don't we tap into that power? It's offered to us freely, but why don't we tap into it? You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We've been delivered from that. We've been delivered from those shackles, from the fear of things. But yet we're so scared. And Paul's encouraging Timothy here, listen, tap into the power. Just keep doing the work of the Lord. He will power you. He will give you that power. He will refuel your batteries. We were all born with fear. We had that fear instilled in us from the moment of birth. But once we were born again, we are not that person anymore, right? As a child is being raised up, parents, we do a terrible job because we instill so much fear into our children. And some of it is healthy fear, and I understand that. But some of it's just not trusting God. The bondage has to be broken. Once you're saved, it's gone. The chains are broken, and we have been adopted into the family of God. But here lies the problem. We return to the vomit over and over and over again. We're like a dog that goes back and eats the pile. We just circle the wagon all the time. We allow fear to creep in, and it's like a sneaky snake slithering in the grass that scares us, and we run away like a scared child. Like Paul said there in Romans 8:15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have been delivered, but we don't allow the power of God to live freely in our lives. And we limit God. We put roadblocks up. We get scared and stop. God calls us to something, and he gives us the power to do it, but yet we get scared and freak out. So we say, no, this isn't for me, God. We're given an opportunity after opportunity, but yet we tell God no. God will find a willing believer to use. Don't allow fear to stop us from being used by God. Remember that if God calls us to something, he's going to get us through it. It may be painful. It's probably going to be painful because we have to trust him. So we got to crucify the flesh, and it's going to grow us. I have people all the time ask me, how did you get to where you're at? Well, I'm nowhere, but I am. And the simple answer is I just didn't tell God no. When he asked me to take the next step, I did it, though he needed to cattle prod me once in a while. And I'm not saying I didn't hesitate, but I allowed the Spirit to lead the way, and he directed my path. And God gives us the power to do that, church, if we will just do it. When God says, hey, do this, don't say no. What if we started saying yes? And I'm not saying to get bogged down and get just covered up. But what if we just started saying, yes, Lord? What if we start using the gifts that God has given us and quit wasting time and making excuses? Because the time is short and we don't know when the last opportunity will be to serve God. It is the greatest thing we can ever do. To serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no other greater thing in this world. So he also gives us love. Only God can give us the power to love the unlovable. There's times that I'm unlovable, but Annie still loves me. There's things that I do that make her where she probably shouldn't love me, right? Because I'm a knothead sometimes. But she still loves me. You know why? Because she loves God more, and that love overflows on me, even when I don't deserve it from her. Fear will hinder our ability to love one another. But most of all, it will hinder our ability to love God. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God's perfect love casts out all fear. We know that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, and this took amazing love. God so desired to see the world repent and turn towards him, to have a relationship with him, that he says, I love you so much, I'm going to sacrifice my son. This is perfect love. And if we're born again today, we are commanded to love one another. We're commanded to love the unlovable, to love those that we can't stand. Why? To shine the love of God in the lives of those around us. To love another soul is harder to do at times, but what if we don't love those around us? God gives us the ability to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can see that, right? It says in verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. What is love? The word charity is translated love. In our King James Bible, we don't see the word love here. We see charity. The word charity is perfect here. It can only be done through the power of God living inside of us. And we all have work to do for this to be shown through us. Jesus tells us in John 13, 34, to love one another as he loved us. He goes on to say that all men shall know that you are my disciples when you do so. When we can love like Jesus loved, Jesus didn't go out walking around looking for, man, that person looks easy to love. I'm going to go and be around them. Jesus went to the hard people. He went to people like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Was she easy to love? No, but he sought her out. He went out of his way to seek her out. And he called her out on what was going on in her life. Why? Because he loved her. He loved her soul, and he wanted to see her delivered from that. And he wanted to see a new creature be born again right there. How often do we do that? How often do we love those that we're like, man, that person's just too different. That person, whatever. We limit it. We cannot love others without loving God. And we can only love him because he first loved us, as we see in 1 John 4:19. And if we love him, then we are told to keep his commandments, and we are commanded to do things. We're commanded to share the gospel, right? Why? Because we should love the souls of men. The word of God, souls of men, the most important things in the world, right? The most important things ever. And if we have to love God's word, and we have to love souls, and if we love them, then we should be taking the word of God to them. Jesus tells us to do that. Mark 16, 15, right? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And when was the last time that you did this? When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? When? Well, I had that spirit of fear. And it was overpowering the power and love that I should have. How are you loving God today? When was the last time you obeyed God and went where he told you to go? And then finally, a sound mind. And I read an article a while back on a sound mind. And this verse brought some things to my remembrance. And, you know, a sound mind is a stable, healthy mind, one that is clear and alert. A healthy mind is linked to our attitude and our outlook as believers. A sound mind is not overly concerned with the cares and problems of this life, but it's set on God and his kingdom. Alert, sober, focused on eternal hope that we have in Jesus. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. A sound mind recognizes who you are in Christ. We recognize that. It does not depend on human wisdom or strength. We don't need to Google, do I have a sound mind? Google doesn't know if you have a sound mind. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations at every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Think on that. A sound mind lives out Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. We're not going to go there for the sake of time, but write that down and go and meditate on that. And here's what we need to understand when Paul says that God gives us the spirit of a sound mind. You know, this doesn't mean that we're able to train harder or eat better or study more or do this or do that. Paul recognizes that God's spirit will bring obedience, right living, and moral judgment, right, from the inside out. Oftentimes, we want to look slimmer. We want to eat healthier so we don't look so big or whatever it is. We want to have more knowledge. We want to do this, and we want to live a better life, and we want to do all of these things because it makes us look different on the outside. God could give two rips. I mean, we need to take care of the temple, all right? I'm not saying that we should just eat McDonald's every day. God desires what's right here. God desires what's on the inside. The Holy Spirit reshapes and transforms not just what we think, but who we are. Romans 12, 2, right? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Word gives us a sound mind. That's what has to happen. It's not a magical potion that, boom, you have a sound mind. No, the Word of God has to be flowing, right? It's got to filter all that other stuff out. It's got to get all the other junk out of there. And we got to quit walking in fear and saying, well, I'm just dumb, or whatever it is. We need to be bold. We need to be courageous for God because He gives us what we need when we need it. What if we quit squishing the Spirit? What if we quit suppressing the Spirit and saying, no, 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 right? And allowed Him to use us how He will. What would change in our lives? And what would change in the lives around us? How would our world change if we cast down fear? You want to talk about fear? We have went through a year and some odd a month, right, of the world living in ridiculous amounts of fear. I'm not saying that, you know, the pandemic, whatever. But why are we scared, right? Are we scared because we don't know what's going to happen if we die? Or are we scared because we can't go get toilet paper at the Walmart? It's ridiculous to look at the fear of the state of the world is in, even now, right? Because, man, people are freaked out because of the news or whatever it is or what's going on. And, man, what it does is it clouds our mind. It gets all of this garbage in our mind. And we do not have a sound mind because it's flooded with things that freak us out. If we would open the book and sit down at the feet of Jesus and say, God, take this spirit of fear out of my life. I know it's not of You. And give me the power to walk in victory today. Give me a sound mind. Give me a love for Your Word and a love for the souls of men to go out of here and change the state of the world today. We can do that. He will give us what we need. How will the world change if we tap into the power that has already been given to us? In the 90s, I went to high school in the 90s. The big thing was to wear the no fear shirt. Anybody ever have a no fear shirt? Anybody? Some of you guys are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know what it meant. But I had one in every color because it was cool, right? Maybe not one in every color. We were poor, but I had a couple of them. It just said no fear. I was one of the most scared teenagers out there wearing the t-shirt because it was on the outside. The world kind of had it right because we are not to fear. We have giants living in our land. What if we tapped into the same power that David did to defeat the giant as a young lad? He slayed the giant. When everyone else was too scared to say, I'll fight him. Here comes little David, right? Like, this stuff's, I'm just going to go. Give me some rocks. I'll knock this giant down because I know where my power comes from. We have that same power to defeat the giant fear that is in our life. Maybe you don't, though. Maybe you're living powerless. God desires to change you. What if you would just repent and believe that? What would change in your life today? Maybe you would become a new creature. Maybe you have never, ever surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never believed by faith the gospel. If you have strongholds in your life, maybe you need to come to the altar this morning and lay them down. What if you did that? What if you were crazy enough to say, listen, I want the whole church to know that I have a stronghold in my life and I need them to pray for me and I just need to get it out, right? I'm not saying to come up here and vomit all your business. I'm saying give it to God. This is no powerful step right here. But man, what if you use this step as an altar in your life to lay it down and to go back and never come back to it? What would change in your life? What stronghold would be removed? What victory are you, man, suppressing God from giving you? Maybe if you need to do business with the Lord, man, just come forward. Lay it down right now. Just do it. Just be crazy enough to say, I believe God can take this from my life. I can promise you one thing, no one's going to judge you. And if we were all to be honest, there's something in our life that's holding us back. There's something in our life that's hindering God from using us 100%. Maybe it's a deep, dark secret. Maybe it's just something small. It doesn't matter. God doesn't care. It's all the same. He wants you to get clean so you can tap into the power, love people, and have a sound mind. Right now, we're scared to come forward. We're like, I don't think so. Right? I remember when the gospel was shared with me for like the 700th time. And I was so scared of what people were going to think. Of who I was. Because, man, the curtains had to be opened. It all had to be out. I had to repent. And finally, like 701, something clicked. And I said, I don't care what people think of me. I don't. I just want to know Jesus. And I did it. Some of us have that same testimony in our lives today. Some of us are like, man, I didn't care. It was like God had me by the hand and leading me to where I needed to go. If that's you today, if you need to do business with the Lord or you need to know the Lord, don't leave here today without doing that. There's no reason to. There's no reason to leave the same as we were when we came here, right? We're all beautiful people, we know that, but on the inside, what's really going on? Because we can't see the inside of each of our lives. It's tainted, right? It's covered up by our flesh. And we shine it up. We gotta be around the people. We gotta shine it up. What if we got it out? How would we be different today? Let's pray.